Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. You know, we've got a pretty important show for you, and I'm really glad you tuned in. I want you to picture this. Imagine that you're in a war zone. Planes are flying overhead. Men are dropping left and right around you, losing their lives, and you jump in a foxhole, and you ask God to save and protect you. And as you utter that prayer, you're suddenly just filled with a strong sense of God's presence and protection. You know, you think that story is out of a novel? Well, it isn't. It happens every day. We have men and women fighting in the military who call out for God and who find him faithful, and they sense his presence. And we're actually going to play some clips of soldiers who cried out to God and how God met them and protected them on a very dangerous battlefield. John Morris is a great, great friend of Faith Radio. He is in studio to talk about how we can bless and support our military and their families, what it takes for them to transition back into civilian life, what we as God's people can do to stand in the gap for them. And to be reminded again how deeply blessed we are to live in this free country and that it does cost something to have freedom. So let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get him on the show. John Morris is an Army reservist, served in Norway, Kuwait, Qatar, Iraq, and Cuba, in Fort Stewart in Georgia, Fort Benning in Georgia, Fort McCoy in Wisconsin, Fort Bragg in North Carolina, and Fort Irwin in California. In Iraq, he visited psychological operation teams in 17 different camps. Chaplain Major Morris is currently a full-time chaplain with the Minnesota National Guard. He is a 1986 graduate of Minnesota's Bethel Seminary. We're honored to have him in studio with us today. Thanks for joining us, John.
Susie, it's an honor to be with you and your listeners today. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. I wish you could see him. He's all dressed up in his, what do you call that, army garb?
I didn't think you could see me. I'm camouflaged.
That's right. Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. Okay, well, you know, we like to start out our conversations talking scripture, and you chose a wonderful passage, Mark 1:17. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Talk to us about that one.
Susie and listeners, when a man or woman joins the United States military, they're being called by their nation to service, sacrificial service. And when they raise their right hand and swear their allegiance and willingness to defend the Constitution, they're surrendering so many of their rights and freedom, much like Jesus' call to us, that we're to surrender our lives to him. He doesn't tell these disciples where they're going. He doesn't tell them how the story ends. He simply says, "Follow me. Put your trust in me." But we're served today by 1.5 million brave men and women who raised their right hands and said they would follow the lawful orders of the President of the United States. They'd defend the Constitution. They'd literally give their lives if asked to. In the last 10 years, 6,000 American military members have given their lives. From the state of Minnesota, we've had over 100. So this text means a lot to me, and it's a challenge every day that I have surrendered my life to Christ, and he has called me into his service, which has led me into the military of the United States. My life's not my own. And I think, I believe that every military member would say something similar about having given their lives into the service of the country, willing to go where they're asked, when they're asked, and do what they're told to do, regardless of the cost.
You know, really honor you and our military for that incredible sacrifice. I have to ask, how has your time in the military impacted your identification with Christ as someone who's no longer civilian, but someone who is all in for Jesus? You know what I'm saying? Because I often make a parallel when I'm even talking to women that really saying yes to Jesus is like going from to being a civilian to being in the armed forces, where you've got all of heaven on your side, but it does cost you. You give up a lot, but you gain a lot too. How has your understanding of your identity and your association even with the body of Christ changed and been impacted by your military service?
Susie, obviously, Apostle Paul uses soldiering as an analogy of discipleship, and that's certainly true. And I would say something else after three combat tours. You know, combat strips away everything that's trivial and puts you in the face of death in a very, very real way. And at those moments, it's you and Jesus. He's the hope. He's the rock. He's the anchor. He's what you have to make it through those seconds, hours, days, weeks of the harshness, the fear, and the loneliness of being away from home. So my identity has been strengthened, deepened. It's bomb-proof in Christ because he's shown himself to be faithful in the worst that human beings have to offer.
You know, I'm sure the passage, greater love has no man than he who lays his life down for a friend. I mean, that passage must be so living and breathing to you because you think, again, of what our military give up so that we can live free. And we must not forget that.
And it's easy to forget. Of course, we're just coming off of Memorial Day, and I had the privilege of speaking in many places, and I said the same thing to everybody. America seems to long for heroes, but we look in all the wrong places. Mm-hmm. We have them, and they're alive. They're serving our country today, and they have proved their bravery in the toughest situations. They've gone to war 2, 3, and 4 times, and some have laid their lives down. We have some bona fide heroes. I have a hard time when I hear sports figures touted as heroes. That's the toy department of life. No disrespect for anybody that's a professional athlete. I'm a big sports fan. But once you've served alongside some of these great Americans, seen them maimed and wounded, even given their lives for one another, your measurement of heroism is totally different. And I am indebted to this country. You mentioned the 68th anniversary of D-Day. My mother's a French native. Her village and she were liberated on the 25th of August, 1944. I know who purchased my freedom eternally. It was Jesus. Temporally, it was an American soldier with a rifle. So I can't forget. Everybody that takes a moment of sober reflection realizes the same thing. Somebody purchased this gift for you, and it was purchased in combat.
Every ounce of freedom that we enjoy is on the back of somebody who paid a price, and we can go too long and forget that. And if we forget that, we miss out on what a precious gift it is.
Well, I agree, and I love our country for the holidays that cause us to stop and pause on those things. And I think this terrible time of war reminds us all of just how precious that freedom is. But if we forget all of that, just look at the global marketplace. We will lose our freedom if we lose our competitiveness. And to be competitive, we have to stay strong. We have to work. We have to be productive, take care of our families, raise our kids, do all these different things because there's people out there that want to dominate the world and take our place. So, you know, I'm trying to defend the freedom so that my grandkids, your grandkids can enjoy some of the things we've enjoyed. It's a great country, but once you lose your freedom, you're not going to get it back.
You know, I mentioned this on the show before, but my hubby and I every 10 weeks talk to a group of teens in our community, a different group each time of kids who've committed their first crime. And the option is to go through this program and not face the judge. And it's kind of a rehabilitative program. Or go before the judge and get something on your record. And these kids will sit and they'll slouch and they'll look at you like, I don't care about my life, you know, whatever. And I said, you know what? Your culture tells you it's cool not to care, but that's a lie because it's really, really cool to care. And you are tomorrow's leaders. And if you step into your dream and you be who God intended you to be, you actually strengthen our nation. And you can just see the light kind of go on. And I'm saying the enemies of this country camp on the assumption you're going to keep slouching in your chair and not caring about your life. So talk about our importance, each of us, as citizens of America, not only as people who belong to Jesus, but as citizens, how we can strengthen our nation.
Well, I'm saddened to see the deep divisions in our society, and we've always had tensions in America. But, you know, I've seen the people that want to dominate this country, and I've seen the evil that they want to perpetuate on us. And I know we're 10 years from 9/11, and we've forgotten that horror, but we're Americans. And at the end of the day, we need each other. Mm. And that means everybody needs to get up in the morning and take responsibility for your children, raise them with the best of values. Everybody's got to go to work that can go to work. Let's take care of one another. We've got to do what we can to build our communities and make them strong. Let's do what we can to make sure we get the best education for our children so they have the best opportunity to compete in the global marketplace in the days ahead. That's just being an American. We can have all our religious differences, political and ideological differences. That's being American as well. But at the end of the day, the common defense of the nation depends on every individual, not just the man and woman carrying a rifle. Everybody's got a responsibility for our freedom. If we don't take that seriously, we will rot from the inside out, and no army can defend us.
You know, that is profound and powerful, and I think we just found our highlight clip because that needs to be said. In fact, I have just a side note favor to ask of you. Would you mind running for president? Please. That was amazing. Well, we're talking to Army Chaplain John Morris today, and he's a modern-day hero right in our midst. And maybe you've got loved ones in the military. We'd love to know about them and hear about them, or maybe you've got a question or comment for our guest today. Another question I have for you, maybe your church has got a ministry to the military. I would love to know about it. My sister's church does amazing things for the military. Not even a huge church makes a huge impact on the military families. So what are you doing for the military? I'd love to know. Otherwise, you've got a question or comment. Love to know that, too. We've got a stack of books to give away. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We've got some clips today from World War II, and I'm wondering if you would explain D-Day, John. Just set up that scenario and why this day commemorates that day, why it's an important day to remember.
Well, it's easy for us to forget this terrible history. We'd all be speaking German or Japanese today if it hadn't been for the Allies, with the American effort integrally intertwined into pushing Hitler out of power and the Japanese back to their homeland. And on the 6th of June, the Allies lined up across the English Channel and did the largest waterborne invasion in history across the English Channel onto the Normandy coast. And they ran right into the teeth of the German army, which was well prepared and in place, but surprised due to a variety of factors and the grace of God. We threw thousands of men onto those beaches with the certainty that a great number of them would be massacred, but trying to overwhelm the German defenses. And that battle was very much in doubt for that entire day. The Germans were very successful in holding the Americans, Canadians, and the British and the French onto the beaches and slaughtering them. One little town in Pennsylvania lost 32 men, Bedford, Pennsylvania. It was just an unbelievable carnage, but it had to be as we tried to assault the European mainland and begin our thrust into Germany to bring the war to the end. Those brave men did what was asked of them. They assaulted the beaches into the face of direct fire. We who are in the military today hold them in the highest regard. Mm-hmm. And we all measure ourselves against them. Could we have done that?
Yeah.
Held our fear in check. And I've met men that charge those beaches, and they're humble.
Yeah.
Hey, I did my job. Wow.
Wow is right. I've watched some video footage, and I only feel fear when I watch them run into the mouth of a lion, basically. I can't even comprehend that kind of courage and grit,
Anybody that has seen Saving Private Ryan has seen the best Hollywood can do to depict that invasion scene. And anybody that was there that I've talked to said, that's close. It doesn't smell and sound and look like it, but that's the kind of fear that had to be held in check. And that's the kind of carnage that they had to work their way through. But they did it. They did it. And by the end of the day, they had taken the beach. And then by day two, they had begun to penetrate the hedgerows, and the Germans were beginning to bend. And ultimately, the long slog of the next 9 months that took us to victory in Europe and to the freedom that we have today, of which I am a direct beneficiary.
And I as well. I can't remember who said it, but the only thing that's, I'm going to totally ruin this quote, but for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And somebody had to confront that bully. And wow, just absolutely amazing. Well, I see the calls coming in. I want to give that number again, 877-933-2484. While we wait for those calls to come in, we're going to play our first clip. And these are compliments of Focus on the Family. They're produced beautifully. This first one is about a fighter pilot giving his firsthand experience of how God met him. Hear this one.
Probably the clearest was on dropping the paratroopers on Corregidor. And I was the second ship that was dropping. And because our target area was so small, we dropped on the parade ground in the center of a quadrangle of destroyed buildings. So we had to come in very low and very slow, and we could only drop six paratroopers on a stick. And the guy ahead of me got hit and was going down. And he was saying, "I'm going down, I'm going down." And I knew that I'd be over that in about 15 more seconds. And I became so frightened that my mind clouded up. I couldn't think. The perspiration started running from under my armpits, and my hands were trembling. And I just knew that the possibility that in 15 seconds I'd be gone. And at that instant, all of my Christian background came up, and I just said, Lord, if I die, take me to be with you in heaven. And I'll never forget that instant after that. It felt like there was God's presence in the cockpit. And instantly, my perspiration stopped, my trembling stopped, my mind cleared up, and I lost every sense of fear that I had. And I have never in my whole life forgotten that feeling of warmth and comfort that I had in that second.
Powerful. God is with us, an ever-present help in time of trouble. You want to comment on that before we take the first call, John?
It's true. I've experienced that. I know other Christians have experienced that, that real surrender of your life, that, hey, Lord, only you know what the future holds. I've got a job to do, and if this is the day I die, I put my life in your hands. April 9th, 2004, outside of Fallujah, I had that experience. And the peace that comes that says you can do it, and if you die, you die. If you live, you live. It's all Jesus. Mm. And you go out and do that. And be able, for me, to be able to then witness that to the young Marines that were with me as they had to saddle up, get ready to go into Fallujah door to door. Hey, young Marines, let's settle this right here. You know, we don't know the outcome. We just know who holds our lives in their hands. Well, you know, that's true for every one of your listeners. None of us knows what the day holds. Today's the day we put our lives in Christ's hands. He's sufficient for today. However it turns out, that's up to him. But I'm going to serve him, bring him honor in the moments I have.
Amen. Wow. David is calling from Oak Grove, and it looks like he served in a battalion with you, John. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Your show's really touching, and I'm just a little choked up, but what I'm going to do here is going to compose myself. I know Chaplain Morris personally. We've served together in the same battalion. I shouldn't say a whole lot more than that, but I really I have the utmost admiration for Chaplain Morris, and he is indeed a hero that you're actually listening and talking with. I just returned from Afghanistan, and can really relate to the stories already said. We encountered numerous IEDs, direct combat. I served in a civil affairs unit supporting. Directly supporting the infantry. We go out of the wire most days. And, you know, I guess, Chaplain Morris, what I'll be more succinct about is that, you know, I have a lot of people who've said to me, hey, appreciate your service. And I enjoy that coming from, I've been in the military many years since even post-Vietnam and not getting that. But what really kind of is chafing me a little bit is I come back with my employer. And not only would they not let me have my previous job, and I was successful at it, no problems, and then gave them orders, went off to serve, and I can't get my old job back, and I can't get one even similar, even after having interviewed for like 8 different positions within my group for similar. And I just am so disappointed. I just got that news this morning about working at a very job this morning. I'm a teacher of autistic children. And I turned down for the very position that I interviewed for that I was working in for the past couple of weeks. So maybe your listeners might be interested in reemployment rights and maybe what veterans have been encountering and so forth. And, again, I'll just listen now. And thank you very much, Chaplain Morris and KTIS, for letting me speak.
And, David, thank you for your service.
Well, I do know David, and he's a great American school teacher. I think all teachers are amazing, sacrificial, selfless people. And then he's put a uniform on top of it. He's deployed several times, like so many in the Guard and Reserve have. And he's experiencing what many of us experience. And this, I think, is a shame, really a shame. America's running double-digit unemployment for its combat veterans. How can that be? How can that be? State of Minnesota is down to about 6% unemployment, but veterans in the state, 12%. Mm. Employers, yes, they give us, if we had a job before we left, they guarantee us a job, but a lot of times they fill what we had and they don't give us something commensurate to our ability. I want your listeners to understand this. David and his colleagues are not asking for charity. That man has more leadership in his left finger than most people have in their whole body. He's got more proven experience in combat under fire in leading. He's got more intercultural experience, more discipline, more drive. He's what makes America great. He will help us prevent the Chinese from dominating us. I've got a whole 1.5 million men and women like David. Let them have an opportunity. Don't discriminate. They're not broken. They're not mentally ill. They're not tarnished by their war experience. They're the next greatest generation. History proves this. After every war in the United States, we produce the next leaders. David's one of those.
Amen. And they make the best employees, I would guess. I remember seeing a report on a former military man who saw this kind of incongruency. So he started a business and hires only former military. And he said, they know the drill. They know how to get it done. I have the best employees. And I feel like in this day when things are being shaken, it forces us to be innovative and it brings out the entrepreneurs. And maybe you're listening and maybe that's your call, is to start some kind of business where you employ military people, because you'll be blessed indeed. We've got my sister on the line, and I'm glad she called because her church does this amazing ministry to military, and I want her to tell about it because it might give your church some ideas on how you can reach out. Chrissy, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, hon. How are you?
You know, I'm sad too to leave the show. I think that the one thing that really hits me is my best friend, her husband has been deployed 3 times, and I think we walk around this world thinking that this is just something that they do, and it's not a big deal, while she sits home curled up in a ball because she's so sad and misses her husband and worries about him. And there has to be more we can do for these families.
That's right.
And for them to have to come home and not have a job, plus try to work their way back into their lives. And what I've learned from this Beyond the Front Lines, as I'll get into in a second, is when you talk to these women, they don't want to ask for help, because if their husbands are being this strong in serving and protecting us, they want to be that strong at home, and they want to handle it on their own. And I think that we need to come as Christians next to them and say, no, that's not going to happen. You know, we may not have it in us to have been called to serve, but we do need to come underneath these guys. And we, last fall, we kind of had seen that, you know, there's a need. There's too many husbands and wives and people who are home, who are struggling, who will not ask for help. So families who know of a family would come to us and say, you know, this family needs some, you know, they need some help. And so what we started was a mission called Beyond the Front Lines. And it started out, our little kickoff was, we were going to fill 500 boxes. We cut our service short. We did a 20-minute dedication to the servicemen. And then the whole congregation got involved, and we just packed boxes, and we prayed over them, and we sent them out, and that was our kickoff. And then we got a wall of honor, and if there was a man or somebody we knew, we wanted a picture of them and where they're serving, and we wanted to put them on this wall. And then we have another wall where we would put the needs of the people. And what we would do from there is then people would adopt a family. If you saw somebody that was, you know, in your neighborhood, you would adopt them as a husband and wife team. That was our requirement. You had to go as a husband and wife because people are lonely and sad, and we just felt like to honor God that both husband and wife need to be present. And they would go serve them. And that could be lawn. It could be, actually, our brother Greg went and fixed somebody's, a woman's car who broke down, while Diane went and planted her flowers. And, you know, just to serve them. And if it comes down to a roof, it needs money. We have a whole list of people in church when they're that's their specialty, where we can call on them and they'll serve and give to these service people their time. You know, maybe we'd pay for their materials or fundraise or whatever. But we're just trying to come up underneath them to know that they're not alone. And I can guarantee you, these women are not going to ask for help, or these men are not going to ask for help. You know, we have to recognize that that what they're doing for us, and in return, we have to be just as glorified in sharing and giving that back.
Karen, Chrissy, that's my other sister, sorry. Chrissy, I love you, first of all, but I just honor you, what your church is doing to make a difference. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I wanted you to share because I believe it's going to be an inspiration for a lot of other people. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm a mess, so we have about 2 minutes to break. Do you want to comment?
The heroes on the home front. The president's giving the medals to the wrong people. We're crushing a few families in America to give everybody else a chance to go to the mall. So it's not just during the year that the soldier, sailor, airman, or Marines is gone. It's the year before and the year after. These are 3-year cycles. It's dreadful the year before you go to war. Tough the year you're gone, and really hard to put it back together the next year. Churches have marriage retreats to offer, summer camps for kids. Again, we're not asking for charity. We're just asking for support. We're not broken. We're very resilient. We're strong, and we're proud. And those military families are generally very proud, but they just need the same thing that a family go going through any other struggle needs. A lot of love and support.
Isn't it amazing when you look at what they're doing? It's really, they've reached more families than, the outreach is bigger than the size of their church. Isn't that amazing?
Well, she's your sister, so we expect greatness out of her, Susie.
Did you hear that, Chrissy? Yes, it is amazing.
It is amazing.
Oh, it's just amazing. Well, I have in studio Army Chaplain John Morris. We're honored to have him with us, and it is just a good day. Every day is a good day to remember our military and their families and the price they pay. It is so easy to go about our business and enjoy a freedom that someone else is paying a price for. So that's why we're here today. You want to tell us about your loved one in the military? We'd love to hear about them. More with Chaplain John Morris in just a moment.
Because of sacrifice from the lives of heroes, they leave their homes and family, fight for you and me to protect our country.
We were right by our foxhole. There was another man and I that were on duty at the shop in the middle of the night, and I had my foxhole dug underneath a bunch of pipes, and so I figured that if I got a bomb anywhere near me, it would knock the pipes down over my foxhole and it'd be all protected. But anyway, I dove in there, and then this bomber, dive bomber, dropped the bombs, and he had four bombs. And the first two were down the island a little bit, and then kept getting closer. So the second one was not very far, and the third one I knew was going to be right on top of us. And just went thud. And the fourth one went off down on the reef. And it had gone right across us. That one that was a dud landed right in our ammunition and dynamite dump, which was right next door to us. And if that had gone off, it would have just killed all of us in that area there. And I thank the Lord. In fact, I can plainly remember when I dove in that foxhole, the Lord saved me. And it was just an instant. I knew it was the Lord watching over me all the time. But at those times, there's nothing you can do yourself at all. It's all up to the Lord.
Thank you, soldier, for giving your lives, protecting me. Thank you, brothers, sisters, too, for keeping our land free.
I'm really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're honoring our military today. And you know what? We live in the greatest country in the world. But as long as we think that's true because we're better than, we're going to fall flat on our faces. We live in the greatest country because we're more fortunate than. And when we take it from that perspective, we'll steward the gifts God has given us, the freedom He's given us. And we enjoy this freedom thanks to our military and the families and the sacrifices they make. And so we're so honored to have in studio Army Chaplain John Morris today. He's here with us and giving us some great insight. And maybe you've got a question for him today. We'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. We've got an anonymous caller from Sioux Falls has got a comment for you today. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I have a few things to just mention. When my husband was gone in Afghanistan last year, the church had a hard time letting me volunteer. They thought I had too much on my plate. Mm. But I don't think they understood that's when I needed to serve the most, because when you're at home in the evening and the children are in bed and the darkness sets in and the thoughts set in, it's just better to have something to look forward to the next day. You're going to be serving, helping at the church, and I understood their position a little bit, but it was a little bit disheartening.
Mm.
And then, you know, I had a real hard time just trying to find people that would do anything with my sons.
Mm.
You know, because they weren't in the youth group regular. We live about, I don't know, 30 minutes away. And, boy, if each community could just come up with a mentor group for those military children to be able to get out, get away from mom, and do some boy activities or, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds maybe...
Not at all.
I'm not sure, but...
I think
those were, like, my worst struggles.
Mm. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just wanted to say, you know, I think this was a very important call because you need to be able to do what you need to do. So if you want to serve and that's something that you feel called to... We just have to be so sensitive to what you need, and I want to let John comment on that. But I also love the idea of mentorship, especially for boys, but for girls too.
Well, I want to first thank this woman for all her sacrifice. If you got a soft heart and couldn't hear pain in her voice, you're not listening well. the loneliness, the trying to find a productive way to handle that, trying to do the best for her children and knowing that not having dad there, there's a gap, and not being able to find anybody to help. Golly, you know, what a crushing experience while your husband's off to war. The specter of him not coming back or coming back wounded. This is what military families go through. This woman is, she's paid the price for Afghanistan's freedom. She's an amazing woman.
Yeah.
And she's resilient. She made it through there, and the church didn't offer the best. And that's, Susie, why I want to thank you for having the show. The church could do better. Mm. And it isn't that we don't know how. It's simply what you said, sensitivity to the needs of people, and then adjust to that. Mentoring children, we know how to do that. Letting a woman serve so that she can handle her loneliness, we know how to do that. We can do more. And these families, I think they deserve it.
We bless you and we thank you. And I love how you said that, John, that she paid a price for Afghanistan to be free. And that perspective needs to be painted for all of us. So we do bless you. And I thank you for your honesty. I think we need her kind of comments because we need to be able to give helpful help. And so what are first steps a church could take that's currently doing nothing for the military?
Okay, you ready? Here it is. It's complex. It's rocket science. Do what the Bible says. Mm. Pray for the nation. This nation's under attack. We don't act like it, but it is. And, Pastor, pray for this nation. As soon as you do, the military is going to come up. I'm not asking you to choose a side in the war. War is a terrible thing. God's certainly not in favor of war. But I am asking you to pray for the people caught up in the middle of it, and they're sitting in front of you. That woman, had she heard her family prayed for, her husband prayed for, would have had a measure of comfort. Pray for those who are overseas. Pray for their moms, their dads, their brothers, and their sisters. I say once you pray, everything else falls into place.
And doesn't the Spirit of God just direct you then? You know, I was at a writer's conference once, and one of the keynotes absolutely surprised me. He got up there, and he said, before I give my message, these are all writers who either are published or want to be published, and he said, who in the house has loved ones in the military? I want to honor you. And there was no holiday, no anything. People popped up and were instantly had their face in their hands and were crying their eyes out. Of course, then I started to cry my eyes out. But I was like, they were so on the edge of needing someone to reach out to them. And he prayed this powerful prayer. And I thought that was so effective. You know what I'm saying? It acknowledged them right in the crowd. Mm-hmm. And so praying. Wow.
So start with prayer. And prayer will open up the needs because military families will hear that and they'll come forward. And as they come forward and reveal who they are and what their needs are, then it all unfolds from that, and it'll be as unique as any church. Your sister's church is very unique. I've seen churches do summer camps where they gave scholarships to military kids, horseback riding. I've seen special Bible studies, Financial Peace University for military family retreats, paying for people to go on marriage retreats when they get back from combat. The creativity is endless, but it all starts with prayer that softens our hearts to the need for these families and to recognizing that there's moms and dads, uncles and aunts, brothers and sisters. They're not wearing a uniform, but they're feeling that pain. And just because you don't have somebody in uniform in your church doesn't mean the war is not in your pew.
Wow.
It is in your pew. Somebody in your church is directly affected. And look around. I always say draw a 5-mile circle around your church and figure out who's died in this war in that circle. Wow. There's a family in your community who's lost somebody in this war. Who's reaching out to them to say, is there anything we can do to keep the memory of your loved one alive and to help you? What a ministry. We know how to do this. We major in this kind of thing. But I'll tell you, I deal with the 100-plus Minnesota families of the fallen, and that can be a lonely lot. And that hurts them tremendously because the war will never end for them. They're always going to feel the sacrifice of war. And to not have the faith community reach out to them and honor them, it's unimaginable.
It is unimaginable. So what you're saying is there are people sitting in our church pews who are paying a price for the war but suffering quietly.
Every day, every day. Now, Susie, I'm going to say something a little controversial, but just to get your listeners thinking, I keep hearing commentators say America has war fatigue. And I always say, really? Well, what did they do to get it? Because right now, 1% of us are wearing a uniform, and it's spouses like that woman in Sioux Falls who is truly tired. Everybody else is at the Mall of America. So where's the fatigue?
Mm.
What does this cost anybody other than the people who've paid the direct sacrifice? So I don't know that I'm asking so much. This isn't World War II where I'm asking to ration everything to give us your old tires and to get gas stamps. I'm just asking you to pray for your nation that you enjoy its benefits of. Look left and right, see who's in your neighborhood and in your pews that's directly paying the price, and see if you can help them.
Mm.
Not hard.
Yeah.
I'll do the rest for you. I'll go to Iraq or Afghanistan. I'll let my family pay that terrible price. You just take care of them while I'm gone and help us put it back together when we come back. Because there's no shortage of great young Americans that are willing to go to Afghanistan, anywhere the nation wants them to go. They're signing up yet today. So that's good news. The challenge is on the home front.
Yeah. Well, we are sufficiently challenged. You know, I was going to ask you, what is the most difficult thing for a serviceman or woman right now? And maybe you've already answered it. Is it a lack of support among people of faith, or how would you answer that?
Well, it's getting a job once you get out of the military. That uncertainty is difficult. The United States does a wonderful job giving benefits to its military members. We have the GI Bill. But where do I go to get career guidance to know how do I use these gifts God's given me, and then what's the right education, and then where does that take me? Again, this is a great ministry for the church, and I'm proud of one church here in town, Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie. They have a job support group, and they've opened it up to the military and tailored their curriculum so young military members can come in and learn how to do job search, resume writing, networking, career. That's wonderful. That practical ministry is going to save souls, save families, and encourage young people who are out there in a very competitive marketplace where employers don't understand what we have to offer. And we don't know how to speak to them about our experience in a way they can understand. But when you go to a group that a ministry puts on like that, you get retrained, you know how to speak, you get your confidence, and you go out there and you get a job. And boy, that's fantastic.
So fantastic, because you're so well trained. You have so much discipline, so much courage. And you hear so much from managers that there's tons of people that are employed that are slouches when there's all kinds of people that could step into their role and do 10 times the work that they could do.
You bet. You know, veterans will often tell you this. That's a very hard thing for them when they go back to civilian life, how many people around them don't work hard. You know, we're mission-first people. David, who was in Afghanistan, he didn't have the luxury of calling in sick. He didn't have a mental health day. He had to get the mission accomplished, even if it meant risking his life. So when he gets back to work, the idea of not doing something, not being able to do something, it's not in his vocabulary.
Yeah.
And we have men and women like that. They're just can-do, make-it-happen type of people.
And you know about David, I loved he did not sound, he wasn't whining. He was like, it's chafed me a little bit, you know, but it's a big thing that has happened. But
sure.
So if anything, he's understated it, but it's no small thing.
Yeah, and he doesn't have quit in him. So he'll just keep trying, and he'll keep pushing ahead. And that's true of most veterans. So, you know, we're an untapped resource and talent pool. Whoever gets to us first is going to have a great harvest. And I always tell employers, hire me now or else
someone's
pay for it later.
Yeah. That's confidence right there, folks.
Yes.
I'm just feeling like this. I'm feeling like there are people listening that God wants them to start a business and hire military. I think it could be powerful. We've got a couple emails. We've got Lori who emailed. She said, I really enjoy the show. I listen every day. Have a question for the chaplain. My good friend's nephew was killed in a training accident while in the military. My friend is looking for a ministry that she and her sister can become involved in. Are you aware of any ministry, state or national, that work with families of deceased military members?
TAPS, Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. It's a nonprofit. Look it up online. They're always looking for local volunteers. You got it. Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors handles those killed in training, in combat. Yes. It's a great ministry and a much-needed ministry.
Great question. Another email from Ebenezer to the guest, to you and to our military families. I just want to use this opportunity to thank you and appreciate our military men and women for their sacrifice. They risk their lives so that ours will not be at risk. Your sacrifice is one of the main things that makes this country great. I'm happy to say that we recently hired an employee that's in the National Guard. She recently notified me that she'll be going for 1 week of service training. I could not resist the opportunity to thank her and other military men and women out there especially. The society needs to do more for them. I wish everyone in this nation believed and acted on your message that this nation is at war. Most people in this country are so busy making ends meet and forgetting the reality that we're at war. Thank you, Ebenezer.
Well, thank you, Ebenezer, on behalf of the men and women in Afghanistan, the Horn of Africa, under the sea and in the air, I receive that and pass that blessing on to them.
Mm. We're going to listen to another clip from Focus on the Family, and this is a Navy clip. Hear this, and we'll continue our conversation just after.
We were one of the ships that was supposed to be on the ready duty with our steam power in good shape. And no one could leave the ship except the captain went ashore and got stone dead drunk. And he came back in the whale boat. I mean, the crew took him back, and we tied a rope around him, hoisted him up, and dropped him in his bunk. Then the flashing light from shore sent word to us, stand out to get ready to take a convoy. The executive officer said, I refuse to take the ship out with the captain in that shape. I'm not going to take that responsibility. Flashback my answer that we're having a little trouble with our steam pressure. The ship next to us read all of the language going on the flashing light. Well, that was the USS Underhill, and they took our place. And that night, the news came back that the Underhill had taken a torpedo and sunk and lost half their men. So they took our place, as Jesus did. They died for us.
You know, John, I've read books of stories of people who in the military who, you know, had a Bible in their pocket, and a bullet stopped right at Psalm 91. You know, you hear these unbelievable stories of divine intervention, but you have to look for them. You don't hear them talked about. You know what I mean? But God is sure busy on the battlefield, isn't he?
He is, and, you know, it's a mystery. And just as that gentleman's story, you know, why is one person allowed to live and another die? You know, here in Minneapolis, just a year ago, August 6th, a Chinook was shot down in Afghanistan. Navy SEALs were killed. Largest loss of life since 9/11 of the military. And one of the young men was from Minnehaha Academy, football player, John Foss, great young Christian man. Another from north of the Twin Cities was killed that day. Nick Spihar, great Catholic Christian man. You know, they love Jesus. I've heard both of their testimonies. It'll make you weep. They died. They died as double volunteers, Navy SEALs and volunteers in the time of war. And another man is spared. And so all of us who've been spared, we have a sense of survivor's guilt and a need to live life fully for more than one person, because we know people who didn't come home. So people say to me, you know, you seem vehement. I am vehement because I know men who didn't get the privilege of coming home. I got it. And so I'm going to make everything I can out of my life for the glory of God, for them, and for me, because life is precious. Freedom is precious. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't tasted what it's like to see somebody give it up, you just can't understand how precious it is to have it.
It really is such an honor to have you here. I can't say that enough, John. And I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, what do we as civilians, what can we learn from you as military people? I mean, obviously you've got attributes that we need to know something of, and you've got a perspective that we need. Give some of that.
Well, we can all use a good dose of discipline in this nation. You know, freedom can be taken for granted and become license, and so we waste time. God told us time's precious. It's his time. It all starts with how you get up in the morning. You point towards Jesus and say, it's your day. You gave me another day. Thank you for everything that works, and now use it for your glory. Or is it all about you, your rights, and your freedoms? We're disciplined to shed some of that freedom for other people's benefits. Doesn't mean we can't be lazy and self-centered. We certainly are at times. We're not saints. But I think we could learn that from our military. How do I make the most of the gift that's been given to me? And I've seen wonderful civilian people doing that. You have them in every church, and they do an inordinate amount for their church. They do a great job on the job. They do everything they can to raise their kids. Doesn't mean everything turns out perfect. There's no formula, but it means that they give their lives in honor of something bigger than themselves for the glory of God. And they're team players. You know, we've become very individualistic in this country. It's all about me. Well, you know what? It isn't all about you. It's all about us. But we're on this planet together. And nobody gets off of here without other people helping them. So what can you do to make the world a better place for other people? What can you do to make this country a more productive place? These are just fundamental questions I was raised with. that we seem to have forgotten in this country, and the military maybe is a living reminder that we need to ask those again.
You know, the thing that stands out, John, is honor. It seems that you know something of honor that we do not. And whether you agree or disagree with certain public policies, you live under a certain measure of authority and respect and honor. And if there's a conviction I have for our nation is that we would quit this infighting, we would pray for mercy, and we become citizens who know how to live with honor. Not to say you don't stand on your convictions, you don't vote your convictions, but the infighting and the name-calling and the assigning of motives, I've just about had enough of it. I feel like especially for believers, there's no place for that. We need to be praying. God, have mercy on our nation. Have mercy on us. And I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm done ranting now.
Yeah, well, you're talking about civility, right?
Treating
each other with respect.
Amen.
Seeing the value in one another. And we are in the military an honored institution, and we are the most honored and seen as the most honorable in our society today. I find that both gratifying and sad, because why isn't the church the most honorable and most honored institution? And yet we've shamed ourselves with some of our conduct, double standards, hypocrisy, and so I want to call the church back to being the church. We can be civil and disagree. You know, we don't need to split every time we disagree. We don't need to hate or vilify our enemies and demonize them. It's a free country. People can think differently, and we can still love them.
Amen.
We have lost some fundamental civility. And I want to say this about the military. I've seen this in Iraq. I've seen young American men give their lives literally in an attempt to refrain from firing on people who hated them. That restraint is a hallmark of men of honor, and we have it. It's instilled into us, and we're so deeply disappointed when members of the military lose that honor, kill innocent people, and do despicable things. If we can show that restraint when people hate us and are shooting at us, when they spit upon us, when they don't appreciate the liberation that we earned with our blood, we can certainly do it here when we're not shooting real live rounds at each other.
Mm. Amen. How do you pray for the country, John?
Well, I pray every day. I pray just what the Bible tells me to pray. I pray for those in authority. You know, in the morning at 6:30, when we stand in formation, we salute as the flag's raised, and that is my time to say, Lord, give the president wisdom. He's got a tough, tough job. Give his counselors and his cabinet wisdom. I pray for all the branches of the military, and I pray it right down to the mayor of my town and the dog catcher. I'm just a Bible-believing Christian. If it tells me to do that, I do that. And then I pray for the civility of our nation. I pray for us to find our common voice again. I pray for the preservation of the nation. Call me old-fashioned. I do believe we're a city set on a hill. I believe we're an exceptional country. I think we have something to offer the rest of the world. We're losing it quickly, but I still think we're a beacon of hope in a very, very dark world. And people are still risking their lives to come to this country and become citizens here. God bless them. And I just want us to be a great nation. So that's what I pray.
Oh, indeed. When I think of that, I think if we could, pray in such a manner, you know, get on our knees and ask for mercy and humbly pray for our leaders rather than spew our insults, I believe a great awakening and revival could come to this land.
We certainly need it. And I pray for the same thing. And, you know, I just pray we haven't sinned away our inheritance. Because I know the men and women, you know, who believe in this country and give their lives for it. And they didn't give it for us to fall into debauchery and self-centeredness and divisiveness. That's not what they went to war to do.
Friends, let's not sin away our inheritance. That's a major, major wake-up call. We just have a couple minutes before I'm going to ask you to pray. But you have two daughters in the military?
I do. One has just finished her time in the Air National Guard. I'm proud of her. She deployed once in support of Operation Enduring Freedom in the Middle East. The other's coming to the end of her 6-year tour. She's deployed once as well. We call this the friends and family war. My family's fighting it and my friends. That's what happens when you don't have a draft. I'm very proud of my kids. My father served as a career enlisted man in the Air Force. My brothers have served. There was a time between 2002 and 2008, there was a Morris in the Middle East. We're proud of it. But I'm really proud of those girls.
Yeah.
They're great young women. They're Christian women. They love the Lord, Christian husbands. And they would both tell you they're better because they served in the military. They got to be a witness. They met people they would never meet, got to go to amazing places, and they got the pride of serving the greatest nation on the planet.
I'm convinced, John, that some are listening today and are going to sign up and enlist because of your honor and the way that you represent our military. so blessed to have you in studio. As we get ready to wrap up, would you close by praying for our nation, please?
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being Americans. Mm-hmm. Thank you for those men we heard and those testimonies of your providence and faithfulness. Today we lift up our president and all those who are in elected positions and pray you give them wisdom. Save them from the corruption of power. Guide them that they might make wise decisions for our common welfare. I pray for all the men and women far forward today in combat. Protect them from evil. Help them to accomplish their missions. Strengthen their families on the home front and surround them with believers who will pray for them and love them and support them. We pray for our chaplains around the world. Give them strength. Use them as agents of grace. And we pray for moms at home worried about lending their young ones to the defense of the nation. Lord, help them and give them strength. Spouses who are suffering and children whose loved ones are away, give them help. We pray for great churches and Bible studies, small groups and parachurch ministries, that you would strengthen them and help us in these days, that there would be a great awakening, a revival, and a turning back to you. Have mercy on us for our sins, for our casualness, our license, and our self-centeredness. We cry out to you because you're truly the author and protector of our liberty. In Christ's name, amen.
John Morris, you're a great American and even greater man of God. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be here.
Honor to have you. I'm going to leave you with a passage from Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up in their hands. You won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You'll crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I'll rescue those who love me. I'll protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I'll reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. I pray today's show challenged, blessed, and encouraged you.
The cross before me, the world behind me.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com, along with the music and the scriptures referenced throughout the hour. You can also find podcasts from Faith Radio Mornings, Connecting Faith, and Everyday Relationships. Even our weekend programs are there as well. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.